moving to item number seven, 2019-20 Northrop Falcon policy, C-3608. This is a decision, so Kyle, I will turn over the falconry to you.
That's what your wife says.
Oh boy, I know.
She goes back to the East Coast and teaches in some colleges about reporting.
Oh really?
Oh yeah.
Hi, Kyle. Thanks, Chair Smith, Commissioners, Director. I'm Kyle Laddix, Intergovernmental Salmon Manager for the FISH Program. I'm here today to give you a third briefing on your North of Falcon policy, go through a draft policy, and have you consider adopting a new policy. And I might need Tammy's help one more time.
Everybody needs Tammy's help.
Okay, there we go. So, just brief outline. Today I'm going to review the draft policy. I spent a fair amount of time at the November and December meetings going through the existing policy. Today I'm just going to focus in on the proposed changes, review the public process and the comments you received on the draft policy, and then have you consider adopting a revised policy. Thanks to Tammy, we left public comment on this open through Wednesday of this week. We provided the materials for this meeting a week prior to that, so I do have an updated presentation and draft policy based on comments we received in that final week. So at in the December meeting, we provided a draft policy. Just briefly, the changes we had made then, we added a bullet prioritizing Puget Sound origin sockeye for recreational fishing opportunity and eliminated the reference specific to Lake Washington. We added a clause to the portions that reference other commission policies that includes any modifications and guidance the commission might make to those other policies. We changed the term of the policy to a 5-year term. It's been a 2-year term in the past. And there was some commission discussion on making sure that we pursue equitable harvest sharing, discussion of what the reference to USV Washington means, and the understanding that that reference means that we do pursue equitable sharing of harvest with the co-managers. So you now have another updated draft with some additional changes, but the draft that you received last week had an additional change to the delegation of authority section. I'll speak quickly to that change. You'll receive a presentation this afternoon on night fishing in the Columbia River and some issues with getting to concurrence with Oregon, particularly for steelhead fisheries that are managed simultaneously with salmon fisheries. As we thought about that, we thought about other areas of the state where as we go through north of Falcon and set salmon seasons, we do sometimes make changes to game fish and steelhead seasons to reach agreement with co-managers, to meet court requirements, that sort of thing. So this additional sentence in italics here just says that in addition to adopting changes to salmon seasons, that the department has the authority to adopt regulations for the protection, preservation, and management of species other than salmon that are promulgated through the North of Falcon process to the extent that such regulations are necessary to implement court orders, co-manager agreements, or Columbia River Compact agreements to achieve Washington management objectives or to comply with the Endangered Species Act requirements. The comments you heard in November and December, there was some opposition to the changes proposed for Puget Sound sockeye, and there were comments saying that we need to consider the needs of southern resident killer whales when we set allocations. Since that draft policy was posted in December, we put that up. We let all of our advisor groups know that it was available for comment. And through January 2nd, we didn't receive a lot of comment. There was a comment on sturgeon harvest and outside of the Columbia area that's not really a North of Falcon policy issue. And there was several comments on the guidance to staff on policy implementation, that any guidance you provide should have a chance for public comment. So since January 2nd, we received additional comment on that commission guidance or policy modifications, just people wanting assurance that the commission would take public comment before providing any guidance, and additional input that the policy should include direction on southern resident killer whales. So in the draft that you received today, we've added a short clause to the Grays Harbor, Willapa Bay, and Columbia River sections that just say that any modifications made to the policy and any guidance or clarifications provided by the commission after hearing public comment. So just trying to address that concern that you're obviously going to listen to public comment before making any changes. We also added under the other species section some language on southern resident killer whales. That reads, the department will continue to consider effects of salmon fisheries on southern resident killer whales when setting fishing seasons. The department will work with the National Marine Fisheries Service to refine tools to assess the effects of fisheries on available prey for southern resident killer whales, and will plan fisheries to ensure that they do not have unacceptable impacts from reduction to prey availability or from fishery vessel traffic consistent with the Endangered Species Act. We are already considering effects of fisheries on killer whales, looking at how much prey is reduced from fisheries, working with NOAA to refine some tools that that do that. But this is just putting in a policy that we will continue to do that in the future. Just over outline of the policy process, you received briefings and initial public comment in November, an additional briefing in December with more public comment. We posted that revised draft online, and we're back today with another revised draft that considers the public comment for you to consider. With that, I can try to answer any questions.
Thanks, Scott. Well, again, with noted our timelines, question. Commissioner McIsaac.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I have one question, and I'd be prepared to offer a motion to try to move it forward for the commission to consider. The question has to do with the language about needed to cover the situation on other species that's coming up in a future agenda item. And the question is, what has happened in the past for these situations in Puget Sound that you indicated, or on the Columbia, where closures might be needed for steelhead to comply with the intent of salmon management? And I ask it in the context of whether or not, again, the first sentence there that delegates authority to the director to adopt permanent and emergency regulations resulting from the agreements made during this process doesn't say just for salmon, and has been done in the past. So I wonder if you could speak a little bit more to the necessity of adding the lengthier secondary matter that seems a little duplicative.
Thank you, Chair Smith, Commissioner McIsaac. Yes, in the past, we have made changes to fisheries for other species for these reasons. The North of Falcon policy is salmon-focused. At the top of the policy, it talks about it being for salmon fisheries. So this is just a clarification that we do need to make modifications to fisheries for other species for these reasons, and making it clear that we have the authority to do that.
If I maybe to provide more response to your question, Commissioner McIsaac, I do remember, and I spoke with Craig last night about it, there was a specific incident where we had to close trout fisheries, I believe, in Skagit River. And that was as a result of restrictions on steelhead and salmon fisheries in the river. I think that was an example of one instance where this authority, although
but it was done.
It was done. Yes. So I think it's to kind of you know, formalize that to acknowledge that, yes, the department does have the authority to take these kinds of actions for species other than salmon, but yet are related to restrictions on the take of salmon. So that's one example that I can recall of, and it was pretty recent.
I actually support the addition of this language because of the way we do policies. There was a point that was raised in the committee last night. The first sentence says we're delegating to the director the ability to do permanent and emergency regulations. The second says it's just permanent regulations. However, in most instances when these regulations have to be made, they're probably going to be emergent, like the Skagit River, probably going to be emergency regulations. And if we're getting this prescriptive, you know, let's be careful with the language. I would suggest that if we do adopt this language, that we drop permanent out of the second sentence and just say adopt regulations.
I don't see it here.
I'm looking at the old one. Yeah, okay,
good point though.
I would move that the commission adopt the policy with the red strikeout and addition language as proposed by staff with the following two changes. First of all, I'll note that none of these changes get to this delegation of authority thing with the striking of the word permanent on there, and I don't think it harms the document, so I wouldn't move to do that. I have one edit in the section dealing with killer whales, and one edit in the section dealing with the guidance provided by commission. So, first, and then I'll speak to them if there's a second. First of all, on the killer whale matter, which is on slide 9, but on our page, it is on page 4. To strike the words "do not have unacceptable impacts" and replace that with "provide proper protection to southern resident killer whales," so that the sentence would read, "and will plan fisheries to ensure that they provide proper protection to southern resident killer whales from reduction to prey availability, etc." And on the matter on page 2, where we've heard some public input talking about the commission adopting guidance after hearing from public after hearing public comment, to have those three red lines under Grays Harbor will upon the Columbia River identically read, including any modifications made to the policy and any guidance or clarifications adopted by the commission following notice and opportunity for review and comment.
So a motion's been made with edits.
I'll second it.
Motion's been seconded. Any further discussion?
Just to speak to the motion, if I could.
Yes.
So first of all, on the matter of the recommendation that we change from provided to adopted by the commission, we received two letters from folks that alleged that we had made changes to the Willapaw policy by providing guidance without public comment. And that's false, that we did have public comment. This very room, in fact, was full of people at the time, and we took public comment on that. And when it came time for a decision, it was postponed to the next conference call because we were out of time. So the commission and the guidance that was provided took into account the public testimony that was taken at that time. There was also a claim that there was not public comment taken by the commission when they adopted harvest and hatchery reform policy changes. And that is also false. Last June, the notice on that agenda item talked about guidance, and we took public comment at the time, and we reacted to the public comment and the staff input in making those changes. However, I do agree that it is appropriate that these changes that were originally made with the statement of provided by the commission should be provided after we've taken public comment. So that part of the public input I do agree with. On the matter of the killer whale situation here, I think that it's important that the commission direct via this changes in this policy for the staff to take into consideration the status of killer whales and the relationship between curtailments in fishing and increases in the abundance of prey to killer whales. At the Fish Committee meeting the other day, there was some discussion about the staff providing a white paper that got to the question of just how much increase in prey should be expected from curtailments in fisheries. And some of the questioning earlier this morning and open public comment got to that as well. I think that there's a presumption amongst many folks in the public that there is a large benefit that could be provided and a substantial increase in prey if fisheries were curtailed. And we've heard some other material through the years that have a contrary perspective to that, and that the increases in prey availability to killer whales from reducing fisheries in Puget Sound this year, for example, would be very, very minor. So I'd leave that up to the staff, but the intent here, if this motion would pass, would be that impacts to the killer whale prey situation should be considered as we move through the North of Falcon policy. Setting some sort of a quota or something like that, I don't think is appropriate, but rather having the staff put a white paper together so that there can be an understanding and have those considerations be appropriate would be appropriate.
Thank you. Yes, Commissioner Becker.
I'd like to ask if Ron has any comments on these changes. Specifically, I mean, it's a big change to me to go from considering unacceptable impacts to providing proper protection. I'm not sure if that's accurate, so I'd like to hear your response. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
Chair Smith, Commissioner Baker, thank you. Ron Warren with the Fish Program. I believe that the language is, and its intent is saying the exact same thing. We have for, if I might, we have for years gone through a North of Falcon process where we need annual renewal to be able to continue to have fishing opportunities. And so each year, co-managers would hand National Marine Fisheries Service a document of fisheries that were based on preseason management objectives, and they would evaluate that based upon ESA and management objective criteria to assure that what we were going to do didn't have a jeopardy or negative impact on the Chinook populations, as well as they would also, through a different section of their agency, evaluate that for southern resident killer whales. And one thing that the language that we propose here I directs staff to do is that we have been engaged with National Marine Fisheries Service as well as co-managers to develop a new model that will allow us to look at in real time what those abundances might be from preseason forecasts by marine areas, to look at as you fish how many fish remain for prey availability, to assure ourselves that we're and the current status of southern resident killer whales as well, all mixed together so that we're looking and being mindful of our opportunity to the constituents of the state while taking steps to protect southern resident killer whales by offering additional prey.
I'll be very quick. I heard both Commissioner Thorburn and Commissioner McIsaac raise some interesting points. The one that resonates with me, Ron, was a discussion we had at the Fish Committee last night about the white paper to be generated by staff. I think that's a superb idea. I certainly support it. I would give me kind of a timeline of what, or, I mean, a real timeline of what you think is doable, and I think that would be helpful going forward.
Chair Smith, Commissioner Carpenter, I know that both myself and Director Suswin talked to that last night at the Fish Committee meeting. I believe he had mentioned one of the regional directors helping work on that. I've got an ocean policies person that I have that will be hopefully working on that. Between the two of them, I would hope that we'd have for internal review by the end of next week a document. With any luck, we'll be able to have enough review to get that out of the our shop to the public, posted on the web, whatever decisions are made by the end of next week, possibly the following week. But I think that with all of the concern, everything that we read on a daily basis, the meetings that we're engaged in, that we've got our finger on the pulse of the comments and what's going on, and it will be easy to pull information to develop the white paper and provide that for what the intended outcome is. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. That's good timing. Yes. Okay. Are we ready then? So the motion's been made and seconded. Call for the question. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes?
One last thing. I don't think it'll take a motion here, but we received testimony from Mr. Urebeck that's been distributed to the front table about the Skokomish thing, and it's just a simple matter of whether or not the director can have the full support of the commission in pursuing to the greatest extent possible he can an opening for the non-tribal folks on the Skokomish River as we move forward.
Sure. I have not read it yet, but I'm sure it's fine. So we want to enable you to do the best.
Any objection on that end?
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, fine. Thank you.